Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Rebecca, and I'm pleased to be joined by Rob, who's going to talk with us a little bit about his experience of participating in the Second Step Retreat as a part of the year-long. Welcome, Rob.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, glad you could be here. Let me just do a quick sound check. How is the sound? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. I can hear you well, yes.
Great, great. So just as folks who may not be aware, the Second Step Retreat was a two-week virtual retreat, and that we looked at commitment practice and lots of things that I'm going to let you talk about. But it was part of the year-long retreat that we are participating in. And so, Rob, you want to just jump in and talk a little bit about what you saw and how and what your experience was of that retreat?
Sure. The headline is that it was a fantastic experience, and I would say that it my fantastic experience was due in large part to all the incredible support that Sangha has given for years, and particularly this last year during this intense period. And as the direction of this Second Step Retreat was announced, and it was, you know, making a commitment, dealing with a commitment, in contrast to many, many other experiences with Sangha, where I've been very grateful to take Sherry's encouragement to pick not the biggest thing or a manageable thing. This time it just dropped in, you know what? I'm feeling ready to tackle the big thing, the biggest thing.
Uh-huh.
And go ahead.
Let me just kind of catch up. The retreat was really focused on making a commitment and how we kept the commitment. And you've taken, you know, Sherry's advice in the past, don't go with necessarily the biggest thing. But what dropped in for you was, you know what, I think I'm really ready to take the big commitment. And so I think you're about to tell us what that was.
Yeah, well, the content is that I was at the point of finishing work on a big creative project that I've been working on for about 4 years, but which, if conditioning ran away with the description of it, could be described as sort of my legacy, my life's work. It could, you know, huge pressure, potentially huge pressure. And there was something about the prompts and the encouragement that just made me go, you know, I'm really ready to deal with this now.
Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of support, a lot of encouragement, the prompts, we even had some call workshops, and it really felt like with all that support, you were really ready to take on this big creative project that could be your legacy.
Yeah, because just a tiny bit of content, basically in the past, there's been this pattern of kind of conditioning, in a sense, punishing me for creative work with these bouts of fear, real, you know, sort of terror and fear and nightmares and like, how dare you step out of your shell? How dare you, you know, you should be quiet and hide. And I just have tried so many strategies over the years, and I had this image, finally, I was able to kind of step back. And there was this encouragement to go beyond ego to what contains ego. And all of a sudden, it was this sense of stepping back and seeing the whole kit and caboodle of all the things that conditioning had, fear that conditioning had put around creativity. And I realized that I could just say no. I could do it, and it reminded me of something that's been a motto of mine for years now. That's always sort of cracked me up, but I never even understood it myself. And that motto is: "What's hard is hard. What's impossible is easy."
Uh-huh. What's hard is hard, and what's impossible is easy.
And it sort of was that sense of, there's a kind of sense of swashbuckling adventure in tackling something big. And what I saw during this workshop was the practice way of interpreting that sentence, which is, what's impossible is only impossible to ego. It's only impossible to conditioning.
Well, you know, and, gosh, Rob, there's so much in what you just said, that what the supports and the prompts and everything enabled you to do was to step back and to see the whole kit and caboodle of everything that ego has ever thrown at you. Don't get out of that box. Don't, how dare you try this creative thing and think you can do that and all that stuff. And you were able to step back and really see it for what it is. And from that step back, large perspective, and, you know, that was really the whole focus, you could really see, you have a new insight into this motto that you've even had for years, which was, what is impossible is not impossible to life, it's only is impossible to ego.
Exactly. And and all of a sudden it was like, it's almost because it's the biggest thing, the thing that conditioning has made the biggest fuss about, there was this kind of mischievous joy in saying, you know what if I just absolutely don't buy it? What if I just turn my back on this whole giant pile of baggage, a lifetime's worth of baggage? What if I just turn my back on it and simply sit at the desk and do these things? And let's see what happens.
Go ahead.
I just said I had recordings with me too, because there'd always been, when you're writing, you can't have words in your head, so you can't listen to recordings. It's like, maybe that's not true. Like, what if I tried listening to recordings? And I just kind of sailed through it so simply. And conditioning tried, its last resort is always nightmares. And so I had my recordings there at night for the nightmares too. And I can remember it so clearly. It threw the scariest things at me. And I was like, you know, we're just not buying that anymore. I don't buy it.
And you know, Rob, what you're describing, it does sound like a big adventure. The way you're describing it, it's like, what if I just turn my back on all of the crapola that ego has always thrown at me, have my tools here. You had the recordings. You had your recordings at night. You had the support of Sangha. And just absolutely looked at this as an adventure. And it sounds like not only were you tremendously successful, but it sounds like you had a really good time.
Exactly. And there was a point in the retreat about, you know, like, what if it's a choice for life and joy instead of against ego? And that was liberating too. It's like, you know, I don't even have to tussle with it at all. I don't even have to pay it any attention.
You don't have to be in a fight with ego. You can be in a love affair with life.
And it was like, you know, let's make this, even though it's something I've done for all these years and I love it, and conditioning tries to say, oh, I've made it miserable. It's like, no, it hasn't really. It's made some things about it unhappy, but the vast majority, it's joy-based, pleasure-based, creativity, fun-based, you know. And I was able to complete this task in that state of mind. And then, thanks to every day a new Aikido move from the retreat, he's successful.
So thanks to a new Aikido move, you mean, so are you saying that ego has sort of kept up its tricks, but every day you keep practicing with,
yes.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Well, I'm saying during the retreat.
Oh, and during
like
the retreat,
every day as part of the retreat, there was a new way of thinking about things, a new tool, a new Aikido move that I could use. And so I just had this feeling surrounded by the strength of Sangha. It was like, this is going to be easy. I'm going to do the impossible, and it's going to be easy.
you're going to do the impossible, it's going to be easy, and as you said earlier, you sailed right through it. Yeah.
Yep.
Boy, talk about a practice success, a practice joy, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And and as you were saying, it is every day too, because of course it's trying to get back and, you know, trying to invalidate it every day. And it's like,
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, good for you not letting it get a toehold in, and certainly not invalidating the huge joy and success that you've been describing. It just sounds marvelous, very inspiring, and what a testament to the power of practice, you know, power of just staying
absolutely
with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and all the support we get, all these years of support, and like I said, this beautiful sequence of this past year, and it just, you know, that's why I was ready.
Yeah, and you, we must add, and you never giving up, you know, because it's been, it sounds like it's been at you for a long time, and you just hung in there. So,
yep.
Wow. Well, thank
anyway,
you.
So,
we're at the top of the hour, and I just want to thank you so much, Rob, for sharing that with us. It's been it's been very fun to hear.
Well, gratitude for the retreat and for everything that Sangha does. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, I'm right with you. Thank you. Take good care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And we'll turn the show over to you, Michael.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rebecca, and thank you, Rob. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air, and good afternoon, Jen.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great, and you?
Great, great, and I love that conversation. It's fabulous.
Yeah, so fun. There were so many fun things about it. That image of, you know, yeah, we choose the small things because that's the place we can really work with it. And then it's so true, isn't it? That really is my experience, what Rob was saying, where one day you just realize, yeah, I'm ready for the big one. I'm ready.
Yes.
And there's a way in which, you know, then at that point it isn't the big one anymore, because the whole thing of having practiced in all those places and realized that it's the process, not the content, now I'm ready for that one that conditioning has called so big and so scary. And we have the best time with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's fabulous. Building up our skills, and then we're ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I just love that. I kept thinking, well, you can see where Nike got their thing, right? Because I just was laughing so many times where Rob would say, you know, conditioning starts in with this thing, and he's just there going, yeah, no, I don't think so. Nope.
I don't think so.
I think I'll just sit down and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's great.
So fun.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I have announcements here. Shall I start with those?
Please, and I have one too, after you.
Okay, great. Reflective Listening Buddies is one of our most popular programs for a reason. There is no other support quite like it for practicing presence, with participants required to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter starts April 15th.
Fun.
Yes, and I'm already signed up, so I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent.
And is conditioning talking you out of a commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for the Keeping Commitments Buddy Program beginning April 15th. Participants will be paired with a buddy for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training.
I'm going to project another one. You're getting signed up for, Michael.
Oh,
heard you talk about the power of that one many times.
I'm already signed up, and
yeah.
I have not missed a quarter and do not plan on missing a quarter.
Yeah, so powerful.
And for those who want to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature, our powerful recording and listening training course starts May 13th. This engaging 6-week course includes recording and listening exercises with time in class for processing your experience. And for these and all practice offerings, visit livingcompassion.org. And the usual reminders today, if you'd like to talk with Jen, press star 6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation of about 5 minutes.
Oh, sorry.
Conversation about
5 minutes. Sorry. That important part.
No. Yeah, 5 minutes and one topic. And let's hear your announcement, Jen.
So it's very fun. As many folks know, we just finished up our International Women's Day celebration where we were celebrating the women of Cantalumba.
Yes.
And had all kinds of fun things around that, stories, and had a workshop on Sunday, and we had a matching grant. Actually, we ended up having 2 matching grants.
Yes.
So we thought it would be fun to tell people the drum roll, please, grand totals.
Great.
So we raised in that week $10,000 in donations.
Wow.
$4,074 from the workshop. Plus, we met and exceeded both our $5,000 grant. And then after the $5,000 grant, someone came forward to say, I'm so inspired. I love this so much. I want to give another $1,500 grant, matching grant. We met that as well. So the complete grand total for the week is $20,500.
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that fun?
It's fun. It brings tears to my eyes, actually. It's wonderful.
It is so wonderful. It's just good all the way around.
Yeah, it's fabulous. It's practice and it's Cantalumba and supporting one another and just goodness in every direction you look.
Goodness in every direction you look. Well said.
Thank you. And I think we're ready here with our callers.
All right, great.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kelsey in Santa Rosa.
Hi,
hey, Kelsey.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. I really just got in the queue because I so didn't want to. I didn't even want to listen to the radio show today.
is that one of those where you realize, oh, actually, since I did get on the radio show and since I did put myself in the queue, maybe that's one of those ego didn't want to listen to the show.
Oh yeah. I would say that's probably pretty safe.
Pretty safe bet.
I just actually finished a counseling session where stuff came up and she's just saying, you know, you need to be kind to yourself and hold yourself. And ego's idea is like, I just want to watch something on my computer and check out. And and that tends to be the go-to thing is like just get away from the uncomfortable feelings. So
right. So when when there's that sense of, gosh, this is a great time to be really kind to myself and take care of myself, ego wants to interpret that as, you know, just sit down and watch something, basically just check out, get away from. But
uncomfortable feelings, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, get away from these uncomfortable feelings. And what you chose instead was not that.
Yes. I think this would actually be a better idea.
Which is big,
here I am.
To be able to make that choice. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And I just have had, I don't know, just one of those days of feeling stuck. And I try to walk every day. So I just thought if I put on my earbuds and put on the radio show and got out for a walk, that would really be far more caring than just checking out. And we've been looking.
Well, I was just going to quickly say that it's such good training, isn't it? That so instead of being trained to go unconscious and kind of be distracted in those times, we're training to be here truly with ourselves. You know, taking a walk, listening to archives, getting on in the radio show queue. You know, really training to be here with it instead of to run away from it.
Yeah, because we've been talking so much about resistance lately, and I just feel like so much my pattern you know, and like a lot of these feelings that we're having during counseling, like go way, way back to childhood. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's when I started like reading fairy tales obsessively or going off into fantasy land. Mm-hmm. And that's where I get a lot of resistance. I think ego's idea of a good, comfortable time is just being really checked out.
So
sometimes so what, being really present is just a big challenge because it's so against, you know, what the conditioning is.
Exactly. The voices are so angling against it.
Yep. Yeah.
So you were going to say a minute ago, Kelsey, something you were saying something about we're looking at, where are you?
Resistance.
Oh, okay. That's what you were,
Yeah, because we're looking at resistance. I've just been looking at, you know, and I feel like a lot of my resistance comes around just wanting to be checked out. And I know in general for human beings it's challenging to be present, but some people want to be present by doing more and more and more. And and for me it's more like just, it's really like not being here at all, being really lost in a book or something, you know, so that like there have been times when I would read so much and so obsessively that I'd come out and I just like even half remember, who am I? What is my life? You know, I mean, taken so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
and so
far away.
You mentioned that you've been using taking walks as a way to really get here. What's that been like?
That's been great because sometimes when I'm just feeling like I'm feeling depressed or like I'm having one of those days where I don't seem to be able to do anything, because I've been doing it a lot, it's getting easier. It's why I was able to overcome the resistance and just decide to listen to the radio show. I don't think if I hadn't been practicing it so much, it wouldn't have been available when I'm feeling like this. But I'll just take the recorder and it's like, okay, just go out and notice something you haven't noticed before. I'll just comment on things that I think are beautiful as I'm walking along
it really is a training, isn't it? So you're going out, you're walking, you've got that recorder with you, you know, especially, you know, if you realize there's resistance going on, okay, well, let's just go outside and let's find something beautiful and just have that recorder with us and just talk about it. And that training is really paying off because, as you said, that's what allowed you to actually get on the show when there was that campaign to not have you do that.
Oh, yeah. Because there's a lot of times when it's just like, I'll just listen to the recording later. I don't feel like it right now.
But that training that you're doing every day, it's really kicking in. Yeah.
Yeah, and it really, I mean, because one, I'm getting out of the house. Two, I'm moving my body. Mm-hmm. And three, when I'm out walking and, you know, and I'm consciously looking at things, so I'm not getting lost in my thoughts, I get more present.
Yep. That's it, isn't it?
And I
That's
have
everything.
To say, your commitment workshop is when I feel like I just had gained some momentum in my practice. Mm. I mean, it was at the very end of the year-long retreat, but I started doing the assignments every day, whereas I listened to the radio show but didn't really do the assignments. And I made one of my commitments to record and listen. So I feel like that really helped with momentum. But I'm still kind of reliant on that outside structure. After the commitment thing ended, I've kept up with my commitments, but not every day the way I was before. Mm-hmm. So probably that, and that seems like buddies thing would be a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for exactly that reason, because to expect ourselves to be able to keep it up all by ourselves, right? I mean, the Buddha told us very clearly, don't try that. don't go that route.
Right.
And it just, what you're laying out, Kelsey, is so exactly the trajectory of how it goes, right? Because what we realize is these are the things that I want to do. You know, I want to keep these commitments. I want to go for a walk.
Yes.
I want to be here. I want to live my life. I want to. And as you've pointed out, the campaign to get us not to started really, really early. And those grooves are really, really deep. And so it's so exciting when we go through a time, as you say, where we start to pick up momentum. Wow, you actually started to, you know, participate in the year-long retreat, do the assignments, right? And do you do it every single day? No. But when we focus on, wow, I really am doing it, and, oh, okay, I can see it kind of fading a little bit, so let me, oh, I know, I could do the commitment buddies. That really, each step along the way, right, when we see that it's waning a little bit, that's just our cue to go, okay, let me get some more support then.
Yes, yeah. No, it's been really good that way, and also just accepting, I think I've talked with Ashwini about, I forget what you call it, you know, in practice, it's like, because I have really good days, but I have learned to expect that I might have a really hard day the day after. I don't know why, but it has helped to be prepared.
Because
I did have a really good day Sunday, and then Saturday, and it's just been kind of hard since then.
Yeah, yeah. We often talk about that as backlash. Right? They can't stand it. It's not okay to have a free human. We got to get her back in the
right. And they kind of try to come in and say that was nothing. That was just an illusion.
That's
it
right.
Doesn't really work.
Yeah.
So.
And
anyway,
and
I'm very.
That just becomes a conversation that we don't listen to, right? It doesn't work, you know, it's not really, right? Okay.
Well, you know what I can say right back?
My beautiful thing.
What I can say right back is what you're doing really doesn't work. I can tell you from a lifetime experience. That does not work. So
there you go.
I think trying something different is a good idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've tried it your way for a lot of years, so I'm going to give this a good shot.
Yeah.
At least as many years as you've had, I'm now going to give credit. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well,
yeah.
Put.
So, I just so appreciate all the different programs that you guys do. And I'm so excited that the daily radio show has started again. And
very fun.
Thanks for being there, you guys.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks,
tonight.
Jen. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kelsey. And Jen, that point at the end there is so excellent, because I really have proven to myself, you know, I have tried to make conditioning work, and it does not work. And it's clear. And, you know, that saying about banging my head against the wall and expecting a different result. And, you know, I just, out of my own curiosity, I need to stop banging my head and see what happens.
Exactly. And give it enough time to really experience what that's like, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Lauren, and I live in Mount Ranch, and I was wondering if ego, it's kind of hard for me to explain. With ego, I was talking to my reflective listening buddy, and she was telling this beautiful story, and it was just a wonderful day for her. But then she started talking about how ego was beating her up. Beating her up in her, and she was having a miraculous day. And then I just thought, huh, is it too early to not ignore ego, but and not push ego away, and not entertain ego, but look at life, engage in life, and listen to life? I'm wondering about my spiritual maturity, because I had a thing when I was a new mom, and ego was there, but it wasn't there for hate. What would happen is, when my son was a child, and I loved him, and I still had egocentric karma conditioning, but because I loved this baby, I was able to not engage ego in my parenting. So, I was able to just, when I was thinking of parenting, I would just, the ego would start, and it didn't have a name. It didn't have a name, ego.
Yeah,
but negativity would start, and I would quickly dismiss it because I had this very important
brilliant. Yep.
So that was my first experience. And I'm wondering if I even have to entertain ego anymore. And I know that you know, jumping the gun, but
well, can I see if I'm with you, Lauren, so far?
Sure.
So what you're describing in that experience with having when your son was very young, when you were a new mom, is that it wasn't that the negativity wasn't there. You would see the negativity come up, but it was just, you just dismissed it because you had this really important thing. You know, you had this job you were doing, you had this beautiful baby in front of you, and that was way more compelling, it sounds like, than entertaining the negativity. And so it sounds like it's occurring to you that, now why wouldn't I just employ that process all the time? That, do I ever need to engage with ego? And sure, it will be there. Sure, it will do what it does. But could I not just turn my attention to life, to be here? Is that what you're looking
and
at?
And not even engage ego at all.
And what's your experience? Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, so you gave us an experience, sounds like your first experience that you remember of that, and what's that like when you practice with that currently?
When I practice currently?
So when you practice doing that, not engaging with ego, just turning your attention to life, what's that like now when you do that?
It feels good. It feels good not to bring ego into my into my day. But I think that's like maybe I'm not so spiritually mature to take ego out of the
So it sounds like there's a conversation that starts in the head when you do that, that says something like, well, maybe I'm not spiritually mature to take ego out. Maybe I do need to engage with ego in some way still.
Yeah.
But there's a conversation in the head around that, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The conversation is, you know how to turn towards life and love. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I need to talk about how ego wrecked my day or, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. a myriad of things that I can look at, and it's just beautiful. And my life experience is that life is beautiful, and it's way more beautiful if I don't entertain ego. But I'm not sure if it's time to...
Well, and you're not sure if it's time to completely turn away from ego and be in life.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And as you go through your day, Lauren, is it your experience that you, like when you were talking about having, when your baby was first born, that you were aware of the negativity? So I imagine that's true now. Yeah, you go through your day and you're aware that those voices come in sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And so it sounds like you might just try it and see. Right? What's that like?
It's time.
So in other words, it might be interesting just to try it out and see, right? So because you're not ignoring that the negativity comes up, right? It's not like you're, like we were talking about with someone else, oh, just turn on the TV or just do whatever.
No, but I see it, yeah.
You see it, and you're practicing turning to life. So it'll be interesting, maybe just try it out for a while and see what that's like.
It doesn't seem too pompous.
That seems definitely suspiciously from the voices, don't you think? Right?
Right. Yeah, so...
And that's still perfect, right? Because if it's not getting a toehold in other ways, then, okay, it's going to turn around and say, well, I don't think you can really turn your attention to life, Lauren. No, I think you really need to, right?
So, yeah.
Well, maybe you're right, voice. I have no idea, but... I'm going to try it and see. And then I'll call back into the radio show and check in again and see what I've seen about it.
Okay. So there's no problem with not engaging in ego or not, you know, mentioning my the egocentric karmic conditioning. Not even mention when I'm talking to my reflective listening buddy.
There is no problem. We could actually end the sentence there. There is no problem. But certainly, if that's not what's up for you, if what's up for you in your reflective listening buddy's call is that you're, if we, you know, use what we were talking about with the last caller, I was out on a beautiful walk and I was so present to the beauty of this tree that I, great.
Yeah.
Right? We don't ever have to entertain the voices.
And I don't have to talk about them either?
Nope.
And it isn't, I'm not immature.
Well, so what it sounds like you're describing, Lauren, is that there's a conversation in your head that this, what you're describing, that, well, I'm immature, I'm pompous, that is the way the voices are attempting to create suffering for you right now, would you say?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what if that was just your prompt to turn your attention back to life?
Well, that's exactly what it is, yeah.
And if at some point, you know, you realize, well, there's a piece of suffering that's being ignored here, it will come up, right? It will become part of your practice.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. that's great that I don't have to use ego in my when I'm discussing my practice.
Yes, and that whatever's going on with you, just like you did tonight on the radio show, right? I mean, what you're doing is you are telling me what the voices are saying to you because you realized, I project, that that was causing suffering for you. So you called in about it, and we talked about it.
Yes.
That's awareness practice.
All right, Jen, thanks.
Right? And Lauren, I project it's going to be such a fun exploration as you keep doing it. So I really do hope you'll call back in and keep us updated about it.
Okay. Well, I also signed up for the year long. So
excellent. Excellent.
I know. And yeah. That all started with your suggestion for reflective listening, which is I'm using it.
Good.
Yeah. So
good.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're getting in some pretty good deep spiritual things here. So it'll be fun to, you know, call into the year-long retreat, call into the back into the show, you know, talk to Sherry about it, talk to Ashwini about it. Just, you know, really, it's a really big fun topic. So
yeah.
Thanks for calling in about it.
All right. Well, thanks for helping me out with that, Jen.
Take care, Lauren.
All right.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Lauren. I love that conversation, Jen, especially that piece about Zen is direct experience. You know, I don't need to believe anything or have somebody tell me something. I find out for myself.
Yeah. Oh, amen, Michael. That's a good piece of it. It's direct experience. Yeah. So,
yes. Yeah,
you know, I'm being told this, this, and this. Okay, well, let me find out. Let me just find out. Let me practice with it in this way and find out and stay close to practice.
Stay close to practice. Great idea. And Jen, we are going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Excellent. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Jen, we have more callers in the queue here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi. Boy, these conversations tonight have just been especially helpful. I'm looking at...
Especially... Well, I missed one word, Catherine. You were breaking up a little.
Helpful?
Helpful. Great.
Helpful.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay. Yeah. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, I can hear you much better now for some reason.
Okay. I opened the patio door. I'm in an apartment building. And yeah, sometimes
that
I might even just step out. It's nice and quiet out here. Okay. I'm looking at, I think I might have gotten off on a tangent up in the head on, I was looking at a process. And the process is, has to do with ego framing how my life, like how I'm doing at life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, there's this, like this, all this urgency about it. Like you have this one life and, you're blowing it, you know, and, right. Yeah. And so, I recognize that ego, but I'm seeing how kind of what I've done is try to go to, well, what's really true, and which sometimes is helpful, but I'm getting stuck in, well, I don't really know. Maybe I am wasting it. Maybe there is something I'm supposed to be doing that I don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get, yeah.
So the conversation that really gets you is kind of this, oh, my gosh, you've got one shot at this, you know, and you are blowing it. You're blowing it. And so you get it that that's ego. He's got to be ego, right? You've been practicing long enough to get it. Okay, that's obviously a voice of self-hate. But then there's this sense that it feels believable. And so when you go to, well, what's really true, it sounds like it still feels like it's all within the conditional realm of, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe I am blowing it. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what, so like what am I supposed to be doing? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of, yeah, and yeah. Is there something that life wants? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Catherine.
Well, just, yeah, I get stuck on that question. Like, is there something that life wants me to be doing that that I'm not aware of, that I,
mm-hmm.
you know, have I blown it? You know, mm-hmm. am I going to be on my deathbed and just all these regrets? Mm-hmm. And I can get stuck in that.
Sure. It's a very unpleasant place. Yeah. And so how have you worked with it?
Well, I have the what works is creating mindfulness. And
I missed that word too.
Reporting and listening.
Ah, yes. Recording and listening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So picking up the recorder, just talking about it, and then that helps me see through it. And where I get to is, I don't know. I have no
uh-huh.
idea. I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's here right now?
Yep.
And, I mean, you know, even if I'm saying this, I'm feeling myself starting to relax. Yeah. And so what's here right now? And there's just simply this big, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So when that conversation comes up, what's really worked is turning to recording and listening. And that when you do that, what you get to is, you know, I don't know. I don't know. And that even as you say that right now, you can feel a relaxation with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if life is living me, am I really doing anything wrong?
Exactly.
No, Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, if life is living me, then where is this questioning coming from? Could I really be doing anything wrong? I mean, if life is all of us,
yeah.
Living me perfectly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a theme tonight, right, that for each of us there's that tenacious conversation that comes back in. It comes back in. It comes back in. It comes back in. And it feels real. That's why it's the conversation that keeps coming back in, because
mm-hmm.
someone will believe, right? And
mm-hmm.
it's that place. It's why we call it the hero's journey, because it's that place for each of us where we, okay, pick up the recorder again, pick up the recorder again, pick up the recorder
mm-hmm.
again.
I'm so glad you said that, because that, what was dropping in for me when you were saying that is, so I don't have to get rid of anything. I don't have to get rid of this process.
Right.
I don't have to start living my life a certain way so that this story goes away.
Exactly.
That's
huge, Catherine. I don't have to start living my life in a certain way so that the story will go away.
Yeah.
Wow. Because it's never going to work, is it?
No.
That's
no, it's not going
to... playing on ego's court.
playing on and doing what? I'm sorry.
Playing on ego's court.
Yeah. Yeah, it's never going to work. And I guess I want to add, there's nothing wrong when it keeps coming up.
That's right. Yep. There's nothing wrong because when it keeps coming up.
Because what happens then is I pick up the recorder or I call into the open air radio show and I see what's going on and there's a shift and it feels great. So I get to have that experience.
That is so good. So what you're basically saying is every time that comes up, it's a win for Catherine.
Yeah.
That's kind of the bottom line, right? Because now what the sequence is it comes up, you reach for the recorder, you call into open air, you work through it, you realize it's there, you see through it.
Yeah.
And that feels good to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah. So, all right. Thank you so much.
Go team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we just get to that place where we realize more and more, oh, yeah, okay, that's, there it is. That's that conversation again. And we start to go straight to the feel good. We cut out the middle stuff.
You're right. Yeah. Yes, yes. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Catherine.
Uh-huh.
Take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. And Jen, I love that process of I get disidentified, I consult with practice, I disidentify, and it's great.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, Michael, actually. You reminded me as I was listening to that. That's why we call it identification.
Hmm.
Because that whatever the identification is, it always believes the same thing.
Hmm.
So to expect ourselves not to believe that thing that we know we shouldn't believe when we're identified makes us crazy. Because of course I believe that. I'm identified with that. That's the definition of identification.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And to be able to have practice there to reflect that in a way that allows me to see it and disidentify from it, that's the gift.
Yeah. It is the gift. And it really is the mastery, because what people are describing is I'm doing that. I'm realizing that's happening and I'm turning to life to be reflected here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's so good. Yeah.
Wow. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Jen and Michael. This is Jeff in North Carolina.
Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey. Wow, so great. what a great call. I had an experience today that is similar to one, it feels similar at least, to one I've had in the past, which is that I went to see a healthcare practitioner, a doctor, today about health condition I've been worried about for years. and then the doctor is not nearly as concerned as I have been when I've been obsessing about it for so long. So it's just really interesting. I'm just, there are other health conditions where, tests have shown, the tests are saying, hey, there's a serious thing going on here. But with this particular issue, the tests have generally, and that I've had in the past have, have been normal for the most part, even though I've had at times extreme symptoms. So I'll stop there for the moment and just to say I'm just really kind of just interested in that whole experience.
Uh-huh. So the experience is that inside your head, it becomes this a really, really big deal and something that it sounds like there's a lot of concern about. And when you went to see this doctor, the doctor didn't share that same level of concern, nor do the tests, though there are other tests that do show
okay, yeah, there's something going on here. But for the most part with this thing, the tests don't really show that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had any tests in 2 years, and we're going to, you know, there's some that are going to happen for this one now again. But but one, you know, I was just looking at it, you know, I was driving home and I was recording about it. Who knows? And, you know, and maybe this could be a head game, but I'm just really interested in how much the, you know, just that it was like, I have this a sensation, you know, and that, you know, some kind of thing that says basically something's wrong. And, you know, the conditioning around that is something's wrong. And what this means is, you know, I'm something, you know, bad things are happening. I'm going to lose function in this arm is basically the,
okay. The, I see. So the
idea
sensation,
in this particular case.
Yeah. The sensation kicked off a story of what the sensation means and what's going to happen because of that and all of that.
Right. And there are just so many of those that go on because there's all kinds of things happening in the arm all the time. And, and so anyway, I was just, I guess I feel like I'm getting into my head around it, but just looking at it really just to leave it at the question, you know, how much of that, of my experience around this is being created by thoughts. Mm-hmm. Rather than anything actually going on. And just more to take that as a koan, and just to pay attention to, you know, paying attention to that process of belief that something's wrong and what this means that happens so soon after whatever sensation or set of sensations there is.
Yeah, it's kind of that fox in the washer place that we talk about, right? Where it's happening so... Well, as you say, there's so many sensations in the arm and so many different things that go on. And then that conversation is so quick to jump in. And so it just becomes this big jumble of things. And so it becomes really tricky to look at, well, gosh, I mean, how much is, you know, being caused by the conversation and how much is the, you know, meaning that's getting attached to it and all those places. And it sounds like what you're looking at is wanting to not be in the head with it, and finding a way to practice with it that would actually be supportive.
Yeah, because I've gone through this multiple times, especially with this particular issue, and somewhat with at least one other health issue. But where I go through, I get a test that says you are fine, and. And I mean, I don't have that at this point, but I have a doctor say, or sometimes a doctor saying, you know, basically not nearly as concerned as I am. And then for a period of time, I feel let out of prison. And I'm like excited and life is good. And, you know, I feel free and the thoughts can start to, you know, be about how good my life's going to be and how, you know, then I'm going to change this other thing and whatever, you know, it's all that.
It just goes to the other side of the duality.
Right.
So Jeff, in other words, if a test or if a doctor says, no, it's fine, you don't have to worry about it, then you feel like you've been let out of jail.
Right. Yes.
Because,
you know, my life is going to be good, right? Rather than I've been in this suffering and fear, you know, daily.
I see.
Many times daily, every day for, you know, some, in this case, you know, the last year and a half, probably. And
so the getting
now,
out of jail is being freed from that fear and the suffering.
Right.
You're momentarily let out of that prison.
Yeah. And into potential and, you know, into a story about how good it's going to be, you know, how much better it's going to be as well.
Yeah. Other side of the duality. So,
right.
So if I'm tracking, Jeff, is it that you're looking for a way to practice with, okay, well, so if it's,
in that moment, like, especially, I mean, if I'm tracking, it's such a perfect example, right? Because I have these sensations and all this meaning is getting attached. There's fear, you know, there's the suffering with it. And then I get a test diagnosis. Maybe nothing has changed about the sensations, but now the meaning is completely flipped. And so that I don't have that for whatever period of time. I don't have that fear. I don't have that suffering. And to realize, wow, that's the thing that's really hard here. It's not really so much the sensations. It's that fear. It's the suffering that goes with it. So if I'm tracking, what you're looking at is, okay, what would be a way to practice with this that would allow me to free myself, Jeff, from that fear and suffering?
So it's really interesting as you talk to see what goes on for me, which I think is one of the sticking places, which is the identification with basically, I mean, I'm watching this, but I tend to be identified with it, at least most of the time, which is, no, actually what I want is, it didn't say this directly, but this is basically the upshot, but what I want is to be better. I want to be healthy. That, you know, that, I would just want this to be all, you know, gone, past, and be really young and healthy again. And,
right, and you know, that's the young, that was the best one there, Jeff, right? Because that's a dead giveaway, right? I just want to be young again. I mean, is that so much to ask? God, why can't I be 20 again? I mean, it's just not
right,
fair.
Right, exactly.
That's the giveaway, right? And who could blame them, right? I mean,
sure.
For any, you know, anyone who has dealt with any kind of chronic physical thing can go right there. Yeah, please wave the magic wand and take it away. But that's
right.
That place, right, that is modeled for us all the time in practice. You know, Sherry will talk about wanting to know that she'd be okay if she was in a wheelchair or in a concentration camp,
mm-hmm.
right? Those places where at some point for almost all of us, again, unless we're, you know, hit by a truck and we don't even, it's happened so fast we don't know it, we're going to have these things in our lives, right? So is there a story around, well, I just want to be young and fit and feel good all the time? Sure. But that's not the way it's going to go. And so then
right.
It really does open up the opportunity for us to practice how we want to be with it.
Right. Absolutely. Let's see. Well, you know, I mean, as I look at it, the main thing I would know what to do about that would be, you know, to process map that whole thing or something like that to, you know, just to get at some of that conversation to help myself disidentify from some of the, you know, kind of to bring it out. It's not necessarily in words. It's just like it's been the conversation I've been living in, you know, so often for many years at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and yes, exactly. So looking at using maybe a process map or whatever it is, I would project, as we were talking about with people earlier, to disidentify, to step back from it, because there's a realization in that, oh, okay, I'm in that place where this all feels really real and true. And where I really want it to be done with, and to realize, okay, that's an identification. That's never going to go anywhere. So what can I do to bring myself back here, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, right.
And, you know.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Just to.
No. I don't know that I had. There's another piece that I'm trying to get at, but that I'm not sure about that. So no, please go ahead with what you had.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, what other folks have kind of talked about tonight, that walking out and looking at a tree, right? Being in nature, being in beauty, because it really is. I mean, we always say this, right? It comes down to the conversation, and that conversation is torturing us. And so how can we get out of the conversation back to the, even just being with the sensations that are in the arm?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Right? Uh-huh. Just being right here with us. Uh-huh. Tell me about the sensations.
Uh-huh.
You know, get the recorder out. What's that like?
Uh-huh. I really like that. Yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot because, it's almost like even being friends with the arm or you know, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. whatever. Because there's been so much conversation, you know, it's been mediated by ego. It's been, you know, rather than being with the arm, there's been being with the story. Exactly.
Instead of being with the arm, there's being with the story. And the arm is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The story is trying to pull us from here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. That's really fun, like really paying attention to the arm. You know, and, you know, it just I really like that for some reason. Yeah.
Well, and really, I love your image. How did you say it? Of really taking care of the arm. You know, like getting the whole team. Okay, well, we've got two legs here and we've got eyes and, you know, we can, there are all kinds of things the team can come together and do to take care of the arm, you know?
Uh-huh. But so can you, I didn't quite follow that.
I mean, just truly being with it, as you said. I think you said a friend. That's what you said, being a friend to the arm.
Mm.
Right? Just being with it, just there with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems really great. Yeah, it does. I guess that's one of the things I like about it, because that's not what's been going on. You know, there's been this fear relationship in this story that something's wrong. So it's kind of like, this is what it feels like as I start to consider it. It's been like the message that the arm has been getting, you know, for so much of the last whatever period of time, is that something's wrong.
Yeah.
And basically something's wrong with you. But then, so it's a very different relationship to, you know, start to love, you know, to be with the arm in love, you know, and to be really present, which is, you know, attention is the highest form of love, that, you know, that really just to be present to the arm rather than to be in a story, you know, so.
Right. And rather you said it perfectly, realizing unconsciously there's been a message to the arm, you know, there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with you is the message it's been getting. And so you're realizing, wow, you know what? I want to be with the arm in love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the present.
In the present.
Because that's what has been missing. It's always been a story about what the future is supposedly going to be like. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jen. That's really great.
Mm, thank you, Jeff. Yeah, have fun.
Okay, will do. And thanks so much, Michael.
You and the arm.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. And that was another fabulous conversation, Jen. And I appreciated how you, basically every conversation tonight has been about the conversation. And really helpful to see that.
Yeah. It really comes down to that every single time, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes. Fabulous.
Yeah. And it's wily. That conversation is wily. I sometimes talk about it as wallpaper. You know, you don't realize it's there because it's just so the background of what's going on. And that's why, you know, all the radio shows and everything we do is so helpful, because it brings it forward and it reminds us once again, oh, yeah, that's a conversation. That's the only reason. It's the only way I'm suffering with this is because there's a conversation around it.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Fabulous. Jen, we're at the top of the hour here, and it's been great to have you, and it's been great to have Sangha here, and it's lovely.
It is lovely. And thank you for being here, Michael.
My pleasure. Go happy.
Go happy. Good night.
Good night.